Today is Saturday, the 4th of March 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 72nd session on Mindfulness for Beginners. And we have our representing Nisaranwane Forest Monastery, Venerable Bante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, joining us in this session for today. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Bante with much respect. And I would also like to welcome all those of you who are participating through the Zoom session and also the live streaming in the Facebook Satipasala Facebook page of the Satipasala Foundation. So our agenda will run up as firstly an in-session mindfulness practice guided by Vanti, and then we will follow up with the talk on mindfulness, and then we will move on to the Q&A session where we present reports and questions to Bhante. I know that there is a bit of a change from previous sessions where we had the talk at towards the end, but we thought that it's better for the flow of the program to have the talk at the beginning, at least to try some experimentation. So this is also to confirm that this is a online video on based program, so you can turn your videos on when if you are okay to do that, because it will give a feeling of participation in a greater extent. So with that, I would like to invite Venerable Bante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Bante, much merits.
Hello everybody. We can start today's session with a mindful sitting practice. For this, I invite all of you to adjust your seat. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. Once you have that comfort, you can gently close your eyes and simply be aware that you are sitting in this moment. Sit in a comfortable manner. Close your eyes gently and be aware of the present moment. Observe to see what you feel when you pay attention like this. Notice what comes to your field of awareness. Initially, you may notice surrounding sounds, various sounds from the surrounding comes to your field of awareness. Apart from the sounds, you may feel your body as well. Turn your attention towards the body to see what becomes prominent there. some of you might feel the seated posture, the pressure on your back, the pressure on your legs. You may notice. Some of you might feel that the body is breathing. Breath goes in, touching your nostrils. It comes out, touching your nostrils. Or maybe breath appears as a movement of your stomach or chest. It comes forward with the in-breath. It goes backward with the out-breath. Notice to see what becomes prominent in your body. For some of you, the posture might be prominent. For some of you, the breathing might be prominent. It's natural that the thoughts appear time to time. You may remember various things. You may start planning. Allow these thoughts to come and go while being aware that you are breathing, while being aware that you are seated. Various bodily aches, pains, sometimes sleepiness may come. Allow them to pass naturally while being aware that you are breathing, while being aware that you are seated. Various things come and go, but you can be aware that you are breathing. You can be aware that you are seated. This way, let's try to appreciate the present moment for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone. Now you can open your eyes again. Take few seconds to notice how you feel after a few minutes of mindful sitting. So this practice session is just to give you an idea. The invitation is that you can do on your own. You can practice on your own and see how you experience mindful sitting. Daily try to reserve some time, at least like 20-30 minutes, and try to do a mindful sitting session and experience how you understand, how you feel mindfulness in the seated posture. With that, Namant, I think you can take over.
Much merits, Panthi, for that session and the guidance. So, in our program today, we are going to proceed to the talk on mindfulness. And I would like to invite Panthi to commence the talk. Much merits to Panthi.
Okay, everyone. So starting from this week, we plan to run on a monthly theme. So this month, we are taking the theme of dealing with conflict. So that's our theme for this month. We'll start today and we can practice during the coming month. And we have a few more weeks to discuss this topic further. So that way we will take a start today. And you have to go and practice and see how you can relate this talk, relate this practice to your daily life. And when you come next time, you'll have much more experiences that you can share on this topic. So that way we try to continue with a monthly theme. So this week, this month, we are going to discuss about dealing with conflict. Now, when we live in this world, we feel that this world has a lot of conflict, right? A lot of things are there, various wars are there, various financial issues are there. So it's with conflict. And when we think about our relationships, then of course they are with conflict. Then when we think about our workplace, of course, they are with conflicts, right? So this is how we live. In a way, we live among conflicts. That's how we spend our life, right? So in a way, when you face these different situations, when you face these difficult situations, we feel a lot of friction in us. We want to get rid of the difficulty. We want to get rid of the conflict that we are facing. That's how we are usually approaching this. In a way, we try avoidance. We try to avoid meeting with such things, such situations. In a way, we try to get rid of these situations, these issues. So that's how usually we deal with these things. In a way, avoidance might help, not in long term, but in short term, avoidance might help. But after a while, you realize, although you avoided such situations, such things, such people for a while, after a while, after a few weeks, after a few months, you again meet them. You again meet with such situations. You again meet such people. So again and again, in a way, we face conflict in our day-to-day life. We feel friction according to various situations, right? So if you are spending this life, if you are dealing with people, if you are dealing with situations, it's natural that you feel these things. So it's good if we can find a solution for this type of a situation, this type of a difficulty. It's good, it's valuable. So let's try and see how we can relate this to practice and how we can find a solution to various conflicts that we are facing, right? So in a way, wherever these things start, the mind is the forerunner. Conflict in the mind leads to conflicts in the world. That's how it is. So when you change your mind, you can change the world. When you change the situation of your mind, the status of your mind, then of course you can change the status of the world, because mind is a forerunner. That's why various people, they find certain situations bearable. Some people, they find certain situations unbearable. So even the same situation, two people might find it in two different ways. That's because the mind is the forerunner. We are, in a way, we are isolated in the world of our perception. So if you change that world, if you change the internal world, then of course the outside world will change, or the outside world will follow. So that's why we recommend a practice like this, a meditation, if you will, to change the situation of your mind, to change the status of your mind. What is the practice that we are recommending? What is the meditation that we are recommending? We simply recommend the practice of mindfulness. So that's what we did a few seconds ago. That's the mindful sitting practice. You sit in a comfortable manner and you try to observe that you are seated in the present moment. We try to keep our attention with the present moment. Then we recommend mindful walking as well. You walk in a comfortable manner. Probably you select some area where you can walk back and forth without trouble. Then you start walking. While walking in a comfortable manner, you try to be aware that you are walking. And when you walk, you have your eyes open. So you even see the surrounding area. When we are seated, we recommend eyes closed, so you are not distracted with the surrounding sights. But when you walk, you have your eyes open. So you walk in a comfortable manner and you try to be aware that you are walking. Try to notice what you feel when you walk. So this is the simple practice that we are recommending. Simply mindful walking and mindful sitting. Little by little, you experience what you notice when you pay attention to the present moment. And naturally, you can develop this practice towards your day-to-day life as well. Whatever you do, if you can be aware, if you can be present, that's the meditation that we are recommending. For example, let's say, if you are drinking a cup of tea, can you pay attention to that? Can you be aware that you are drinking a cup of tea? You can feel the temperature of the cup. You can feel how you are applying pressure to hold that cup. That way you try to be aware of this simple activity that you are doing. Try to notice how you taste the tea. You feel the temperature, you feel the taste, you feel the sugar. Again and again, for 5-10 minutes, you can try and be aware that you are drinking a cup of tea. So that too can be a meditation. In addition, various activities that you do during your day-to-day life, you can pay attention. You can be aware, you can be present with that activity. So that way, we recommend practicing mindfulness. And when you pay attention to the present moment, when you try to do mindful walking, when you try to do mindful sitting, when you try to be mindful during your day-to-day activities, you notice the conflict within us. We feel that there is a struggle in our mind. Various things come and go, various thoughts come and go. Simply you feel like you can't even sit for a few minutes. You feel like you can't even walk for a few minutes. There's a conflict within. When you pay attention, when you be aware, you start to feel this. Most of the beginners, the newcomers, they feel the friction when they pay attention. They feel there's a conflict within when they pay attention. So what they usually do is that they usually avoid, they stop doing it. They don't like to face this conflict. In a way, they try to avoid it. They try to avoid the problem within their mind. Instead, they go and find something to distract them. Probably go sit in front of a TV or probably go and talk to some people. That way, we try to avoid the conflict within, or we try to avoid the real problem. So in a way, for short term, the avoidance might help. But if you want to find a lasting solution for this, you have to deal with the conflict. In a way, we can use conflict to fuel our practice. First, you try to deal with the present moment. First, you try to see how you are sitting in the present moment. First, you try to see how we are walking in the present moment. First, you try to see how we are doing various activities in the present moment. It's natural that you feel difficulty. It's natural that your mind is all over the place, but you practice again and again. So there was a person probably like a few weeks back who visited the monastery, and he was meditating for the very first time. For 3 days, he was complaining that when he pay attention to the present moment while sitting, while walking, he could only feel a burning sensation. He feels like his body is on fire. That's what he felt. So he was complaining again and again, it's burning. That's all I feel. Then I told him that, okay, try to stay with that feeling, try to bear it somehow, and again keep on practicing. The next day also he came and he said, still I feel the same situation, same sensation. It feels like my body is on fire. This is how I feel. Again, for the third day, he's coming and saying, I feel like my body is on fire. So this is how some people feel when they try to deal with this real problem. When you pay attention, that's all you feel. But when you go sit in front of a TV, you don't feel it. You go start talking to some people, you don't feel it. As soon as you pay attention to the body or the present moment, you feel this conflict, you feel this difficulty. What is the way to deal with it? We have to somehow bear it and keep on practicing. Probably not continuously, every now and then, you try and sit for a while, pay attention. You try and walk comfortably while paying attention. Every day, make it a habit to sit for 5-10 minutes at least. Make it a habit to walk for 5-10 minutes at least. Try and pay attention. Notice what you feel when you pay attention to the present moment. Initially, you feel like it's burning. Initially, you feel it's the friction that you feel. But when you practice again and again, if you have the courage to deal with it, then with time, you become more and more comfortable practicing mindfulness. So that very same person, on his fourth day, he was saying that he could feel the steps. He could feel the sandy floor that he is walking. He could feel his body breathing. So it took him 4 days to feel that sensation. Till that he was complaining, it's the burning sensation. It feels like my body is on fire. But if you keep on practicing, after a few days, you start to feel that your body is seated. You start to feel that your body is breathing. You start to feel that your body is walking. While brushing, while doing various activities, you start to feel that your body is there. Your body is doing this activity. So that way, in a way, you should have the strength to deal with this conflict and gradually develop this practice. It's the friction within that you feel initially. It's natural that you become extra sensitive to your body when you practice mindfulness. It's natural that you feel extra sensitive to your thoughts, emotions, when you practice mindfulness. So far, you have managed well with the avoidance, but when you pay attention, you feel higher friction. You feel your body is on fire. You feel that your body has so many aches, pains. You feel so many thoughts inside your head. You feel hurt all the time. It is natural that you feel this way because now you are aware. That very awareness is good. It's a good thing to be aware of the situation. Instead of ignorance, we know that these bodily sensations are there. Instead of ignorance, we know that these thoughts are there. Instead of ignorance, we know that these emotions are there. Although initially you might feel friction, it is good to know. It is good to be aware. So this way, gradually, you start dealing with the conflict within. Inside, in our mind, there's a conflict of senses. Various sense objects are there. Your eyes, they see the sights. Your ears, they hear the sounds. Your body, it feels the sensations. Then smells, taste, finally thoughts, and your mind. So various sense doors are there, and there's a conflict among these senses. Your eyes, it tries to grab your attention. The ears, they try to grab your attention. The mind, it tries to grab your attention. So this way, there's a struggle within us. First, you have to start there. First, you have to see how you can manage this struggle within. How you can allow these sounds, thoughts, various other memories to pass while being aware of them. When you practice for a few minutes, you can feel that the sounds are passing, the thoughts are passing while you being aware. That you are hearing things. While you being aware that the thoughts are there. While you being aware that the sights are there. While you being aware that various bodily aches, pains are there. That very awareness is the very first step to start dealing with the conflict. So if you start there, if you start practicing there, gradually you feel that among this struggle, among the struggle of senses, you can be aware. That very awareness will help you to grow. That very awareness will protect you. In a way, you get this urge to do something similar to the outside conflict. When something happens, you want to react. There's this urge to do something. inside your mind also there's this urge. Whatever that comes, there's this urge to do something about it. If you hear sounds, it's natural that you want to go after the person who is making those sounds. If you get thoughts, then it's natural you stop meditating and go do some task that is pending. If you get various memories, probably difficult memories, then it's natural that you want to call somebody. So this is how our mind works. We get this urge to do something. But when we are mindful, we know that this urge is there. We try to refrain from doing anything and just observe how these various things come and create an urge within us. Sounds come and create some kind of urge within us. Thoughts come and create some kind of urge within us. Emotions come and create various urges within us. So this is how it works. With the support of mindfulness, you simply try to observe without doing anything about it. Your body aches. Your body is on fire. You feel pain inside your body. You are utterly aware, but you are not doing anything about it. Try it for a while and see how difficult it is. 15-20 minutes of sitting, after a while you start feeling the aches, pains. It will always suggest that you have to change the posture, the leg might break. Various suggestions, various urges the mind will bring. But you simply try to be aware and see what is happening. The body is on fire. Its aches are there, pain is there, but you simply try to be aware without doing anything. The thoughts, emotions are there. They suggest you to do certain things. There's this urge to do them, but still, you simply try to be aware that these thoughts, emotions are there. Sometimes you feel sleepy, and you want to stop your meditation and go to bed probably. But still, you simply try to be aware without doing anything. So this way, we practice mindfulness. This way, we try to be aware without reacting to these urges. That is the practice that we are doing. That is the gradual development of practice. Not within a day, not within a week, but every day you try to make it a habit to sit for 20-30 minutes and be aware. For walk for 20-30 minutes and be aware. That very awareness you are gradually developing within you. And when you develop that ability, gradually the outside world is also changing. The outside world will follow. You might question whether really the outside world is changing. Actually, it's the mind that is changing. And when your mind changes, it changes the outside world because the mind is the forerunner. You feel like the entire world is meditating. You feel like your family members meditating. You feel like your co-workers meditating. The change happens within. There's conflict in this world because there's conflict within our mind. The conflict within, they manifest as conflict in the world. Whatever the difficult situations we feel in this world, it starts within. The violence within creates the violence in the world. Probably it started, probably a whole war started in one person's mind. Due to a person, entire continent is on fire, struggling with a war. So that's how it goes. So if you want to change, the conflict outside, if you want to change the conflict that you feel when you deal with the world, you have to change within. That is where you have to start. Avoidance might help temporarily, but it's not a lasting solution. Again and again we meet with such people. Again and again we meet with such situations. So if you do the change within, naturally the outside world will follow. So that's the idea with the practice when we do the practice of mindfulness. Next week, when you experience this for a while, when you practice this for a while, we can take this discussion further. But during the coming week, I encourage you to feel again and again how you feel friction in your mind. Notice what are the situations that you feel hurt. Notice what are the struggles that you are having in your day-to-day life. Usually when these struggles happen, we want to avoid them. Usually when these struggles happen, there's this urge to react. But what we encourage is just to observe what is happening. Similar to how you observe the conflict within, you can observe the situation. When you're having an argument with somebody, just observe what is happening. Just observe the urges created within you. Just observe how you change, how you use these urges to react to that person. Probably with your bodily actions, you react. Probably with your words, you react. But the urges, they start within. As soon as somebody blames you, there's this urge to get revenge. There's this urge to respond or react suddenly. So keep observing it. Observe to see how various situations, various people, they create this urge within us. And when you notice it, when you keep observing it, instead of reacting so swiftly, you become more and more aware of the situation. You become more and more aware of the thoughts that you're having. You become more and more aware of the emotions that you're having. You become more and more aware of the other person that you are dealing or the situation that you are dealing. So that way, gradually you can see how you are dealing with such difficulties. Maybe you make mistakes. Maybe you get hurt and do something. So just try to see what are these situations. Try to see how you are reacting to those situations. And try to see what are the results of these reactions. Maybe we create more and more difficulty with our reactions. We create more and more trouble with our reactions. So that way, gradually you can keep on observing, keep on practicing mindfulness. So during the coming week, try to experience how you deal with such situations. Try to experience how you deal with such people and see how your mind works in such situations, with such people, how your mind works. So that's the practice for coming week. Of course, do the mindful sitting, do the mindful walking, try to be aware while doing your day-to-day activities. But in addition to that, related to our theme, for this month, you can try and experience how you deal difficult situations, how you deal with difficult people, in a way, how you are dealing with these conflicts. Are you avoiding them? Oh, are you reacting so swiftly? Are you creating a difficulty out of that situation? Even more and more difficulty you create with your reactions. So that way you can keep on observing. And if you come next week, of course, you can share your experience and we'll see how we can relate it more and more to the practice that we are doing. So that's the idea I want to give. We'll keep it open for a few more weeks and see how we can discuss this further. But I want to emphasize that the conflict, it starts within. First, before dealing with the outside world, before dealing with the outside people, you have to start dealing with the mind, the conflict within. How to deal with it? Try to be present. Stay present and see how you can be aware of the present moment. How you can be aware that you're walking. How you can be aware that you're sitting. How you can be aware that you're doing various other activities. That very awareness gives you the strength to deal with these difficult situations in your life. That very awareness is the seed that will grow into dealing with these difficult situations and people. So start inside, start with the conflict inside, and gradually we develop that practice to deal with the conflicts in the outside world. So that's the idea I want to give for today. And I encourage all of you to try and practice, and you can share your experience on this topic next time. Thank you for listening.
Much thanks to Bhante for that excellent talk and description on mindfulness practice. It is very insightful. We have the next step as introduction for a beginner on how to commence mindfulness practice. And I have pasted some links that are visible on screen now so that you can copy them into a file in your computer. I will go through each of these points so that you can feel what you have to do to keep on commence practicing mindfulness. First, there are two videos which are aimed at providing a basic and simple idea of how to face each session on mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can go through this video and gain some idea of what to observe, what to watch for in this mindful walking session. And also the next video is there on mindful sitting. You can go through and through that and get an idea on what to observe and what to watch for during mindful sitting session. Then is the time allocation on a daily time frame. You can decide to start with 10 minutes or 20 minutes for each session and do a session on mindfulness, mindful walking, and then move on to mindful sitting. And then once you are comfortable with small time frames, you can increase the time span to maybe up to 40 minutes or 1 hour for each session. We do recommend that you start with mindful walking and then go on to mindful sitting. As a beginner, you can follow that practice which we are recommending. Then once you have done this for a week or so, or for a few days even, you can write your own report describing what you felt in each session. The idea is that this will get you to commence experiencing the benefits of mindfulness practice even in daily life activities. So the reason why we have a standard approach for mindful sitting and mindful walking practice this way is to get the foundation right. So once you do that, you will get become able to do it during daily activities and see that it benefits you. So for the report in mindful walking, you can present what you observed, how you commenced the session, and what was the primary object of focus for you, and whether there were thoughts or surrounding noise or other elements disturbing your mindful walk, and then how you were able to verify that your sense of focus, return to the primary object. So the primary object could be the sole of your feet touching the floor one at a time, the bodily rhythm that you might have felt, or any other bodily sensations. So the target is just to remain within bodily sensations, because they are very they are not subtle like thoughts. So we want to experience and focus on something which is not too subtle. That is why we choose the bodily sensations in this. Same applies for conditions apply for mindful sitting session. There you have the additional element, which is the breath moving in or out through your nostrils, which is a fantastic primary object. Apart from that, you can choose the abdomen rising or falling as a primary object, and then otherwise a third thing would be the bodily vibrations, or the body posture, or the body itself could be maintained as a primary object. It really does not matter too much when you are beginning this. So you can explain how you were commencing this, and how you, what you experienced as you went through the practice, and whether there were, of course, any disturbances. Noise could be a disturbance, thoughts could be a disturbance, and then how you overcome those disturbances and shifted your focus back into the primary object, which would have been a physical object like the breath or the body or the abdomen or other movements within the within yourself. So write this in your own words. That we don't advise a very strict framework or any format for this. You can exercise your own expression freely. That is what we encourage. Then you can send the report to us on the Google form listed there, and it is in the Zoom chat section. The email is beginnersnv@gmail.com, and we will present these reports to Bhante, and that will create a very nice feedback loop for you to keep on improving based on the advice received from Bhante through through the session or through the program in each session. No need to send it. If you can send it every day, that's perfectly fine. If you cannot, at least once a month or once every 2-3 weeks, a report being sent is a great thing, and it will add to your practice. Then the last point would be the video archive, the audio archive for these sessions, which you can listen to. So this is the 72nd session. There are 71 sessions which were done previously with enormous amount of insight contained in them. Please go through them, even randomly, so that you can gain some further insight and refresh your viewpoint on the practice. So with that, the introduction to beginners or refresher for experienced practitioners will end now. We will move on to the question and answer session, where we present reports received to Bhante for Bhante's, seeking Bhante's advice here. With that, I would like to invite Samantha for the presentation of reports in today's session. Over to Samantha. Thank you.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Bhante. Today we have three reports, Bhante. So the first report by an written by an adult of the three. The first one is on mindful sitting, using the breath as the primary object. After a quick body scan, the breath appeared, which felt around the upper lip area. In breath, cooler, out breath, warmer. Longer and shorter breath noted next. Then noted the beginning and end of in-breath and out-breath. Awareness then moved to beginning, middle, and the end of each breath. Mind stayed with the rhythm of breathing for a while. Thoughts appeared from time to time and passed away. Attention returned to the sensation of the breath again. A sound noted, which was also not distracting, and awareness returned to the breath. Now the temperature difference of the in and out breath wasn't there or wasn't noticed. Breath was shorter and subtle. Waves similar to electric pulse moved through the body a few times. Notice the body swaying gently back and forth. Awareness moved between the swaying and the now subtle breath. Knew that the breath was there even when the air flow was hardly felt. Sat for an hour, noted a peaceful feeling lingering for a while after the practice. That was the mindful sitting. Shall I carry on with the mindful walking, Bhante, or do you want to?
Yeah, you can present the entire report.
Thank you, Bhante. So then next, the mindful walking. Walked on wooden floor. Soles of each foot noted prominently at the beginning. Cold temperature of the floor noted compared with warmer soles of the feet. The pressure against the floor with placing of feet, lightness of lifted foot and shifting body weight also observed. Some thoughts passed through the mind with few proliferations. It was, however, easy to return to attention to sensations of the moving feet. Steps had slowed down a bit and noted the disinterest in the mind in the walking now. Recognized it as just as a feeling and continued to walk. Walked for half an hour. Mindfulness during the day. Observed a sense of ease at the beginning of the week. Felt that this was after a conversation had with a friend. We spoke of our work routines, work stroke life balance or lack of it, time for relaxing or lack of it, etc. This exploration with the friend helped highlight the areas of activity that is ineffective, which took up too much time. The option to let go of some of these activities came up in the mind. By midweek, the decision to leave the organization in the summer was clearer. Before this conversation, also the work stroke life imbalance was felt, but didn't have a clear picture as to some of the reasons. There was a difference in the mind after the decision. It felt less heavy. Of course, I know this ease in the mind shall also change, but it feels like some necessary change is afoot. Even though a decision is made, noted that the mind is not invested in a specific outcome. Instead, there is curiosity as to how things will pan out, and noted the quiet confidence that the mind would observe whatever the results might be. That felt peaceful. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. That's the end of the report. Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. Now, this is, if we think about the walking and sitting practice, this is a good report for a beginner to understand the essence of the practice, how we are practicing. They can easily understand when they listen to such a report. You walk, you sit, and you try to maintain your attention with a bodily sensation. That's the practice that we are doing. And when you do it, you can feel such details, such things you can experience. That very experience this person is sharing. So this is how we invest in our practice. Initially, we try to experience this. And then we share our experience. Based on that experience, you get some recommendation, you get some feedback. Then again, you start practicing. This loop is important. You practice, you share your experience with the feedback, you go and practice again. So this way you have to continue for a while. Then only you can really develop your practice, you can really develop the mindfulness. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. It is really helpful for the listeners as well. And let's say now when you observe your breath, when you observe your feet, suddenly your mind goes away. It goes to the sounds. It goes to the thoughts. So this is the struggle in our mind. Initially, you don't like this struggle. You feel like fighting it. You feel like you can never win. Always the mind goes with the thoughts. Surrounding sounds are so disturbing. That's how you would share your experience. But when you practice again and again, you feel that naturally the mind is returning to the breath. It goes to the thoughts, naturally it comes back to the breath. It goes to the sounds, naturally it comes back to the breath or the steps. So this is how the process evolves. In order to experience this, you have to practice again and again. So you didn't have to do anything really. Instead, you patiently waited and the mind naturally returned to the breath. Mind naturally returned to the steps that you are observing. So that's a valuable insight in your practice. Now you know if you waited patiently long enough, the mind is naturally returning. You don't have to struggle with it. You don't have to fight it. Instead, it naturally returns to your breath or the steps. So in your practice, you have to experience this first. You have to experience that without your involvement, your mind is returning to the breathing process. Your mind is returning to the walking process. It goes to the thoughts. It is naturally, without your involvement, it is returning. It goes to the sounds, probably little storytelling about the sounds. Then without your involvement, it is naturally returning. So when you experience this quality of your mind, when you develop your patience to observe this quality of your mind, then it becomes much, much easier for you to deal with the outside world. Certain occasions you feel like fighting various situations. Certain occasions you feel like changing various situations or even various people. You fight to change these situations. You fight to change these people. But if you patiently waited, then you can see how the answers are appearing naturally. So that's how, little by little, we develop the ability to deal with our daily situations. Maybe there's a big decision ahead of you. There's this urge to make a decision. There's this urge to try and resolve it. But you wait patiently and see what the surrounding things are telling you. You patiently wait. You put it in your to-do list and just wait for a while. Probably a waiting list is a better word instead of the to-do list. When it says to-do list, you want to complete it. Let's say you put it in a waiting list and just patiently wait for a few days. If it is a big decision, of course, you might have to wait for a few weeks. Without deciding, you wait. You have a big question or problem that you can't solve. Although there's an urge to find a solution, also there's this urge to suddenly go find a solution, you simply wait. You put it in the waiting list and wait for some time. Wait for a few days, wait for a few weeks. And suddenly, without your involvement, you find there's this answer. Suddenly, without your involvement, you find the proper way that you should decide. So in a way, although there's this urge, although there's this rush, we try to patiently wait and see what the surrounding things are telling us. In a way, you have to listen for a while without doing anything. You have to listen for a while without talking. Then only you start to hear the answers that are in the surrounding. Then only you start to hear what the surrounding things are telling you. So that decision, it might not feel with your intellect. Instead, you might feel it in your gut. This is the correct thing that I should be doing. It's not a thinking process that is helping you to find a solution. Instead, you feel it in your gut. And when you feel it, it is so apparent that this is the correct thing that I have to do. This is the correct decision that I have to make. Or this is the correct answer for the difficulty, the problem that I am facing. So that type of a situation that you are experiencing, you are explaining to the group. Naturally, the answer appears. Naturally, the decision appears. And when it appears, although there are challenges ahead, you feel light in your mind. You feel that you are at peace. Now you know what to do. Now you know what is the proper decision to make. So even probably like after a few weeks of struggle, then only you reach this point. So you have to remember that few weeks of struggle helped reaching here. You can't really avoid that phase and simply go to the answer. That is how we make a mess out of this life. Instead, you have to patiently wait. You have to listen to the surrounding things. You have to let them speak and see what they are doing, what they are saying. Then only you can reach this point. So in a way, we are developing patience. Similar to how you develop patience within, when you practice mindfulness, your mind goes to various things. You start fighting it. You feel like fighting it. But gradually, you develop the ability to wait patiently till the mind returns to the breath, till the mind returns to the walking process. That ability is helping you to deal with your outside life as well. That ability is helping you to deal with the conflicts in your life as well. So that experience you are sharing, thank you for sharing it, and you may continue practicing this way.
Thank you, Bhante. Now we've got report 2 of 3, again from an adult. Breath as primary focus. Sat for 40 minutes early morning. It was easy to begin focusing. Very few noises and not distracting. As usual, focus was on breathing sensations inside nose and throat and on chest and stomach. Breathing was rhythmic at a regular pace, became even slower with time. Noticed the straightened back slowly bending forward bit by bit, like a stretched rubber band resuming its normality. My focus was straying to this movement, away from breathing. Tried to bring it back again and again, while noticing the subtle movements. In the end, back settled at a comfortable level so I could fully focus on breath. Ended the mindful sitting session with some feeling of satisfaction. Question to Bhante. Is there some logic to sitting with back fully straightened? I realize that when sitting on ground, this makes for a balanced positioning. Does a slightly stooped positioning of back matter if sitting on a bench with no back support, or on a chair not leaning back? Does posture matter at all? Can an invalid or a very elderly person engage in mindful lying down? For example, if unable to sit. Mindfulness to in daily life. Trying to be mindful of situations that lead to annoyance has resulted in making my life easier. I have a 12-year-old son. Some of his habits can be extremely upsetting, and I would be in a constant state of annoyance during school holidays, which is bad for us all. They also add to a sense of failure in parenting. I was desperately seeking a way to avoid get annoyed at his immature behaviors. That was one motivation in attending these mindful sessions. Trying to be mindful about his age, monkey brain, and the recognition that he is not purposely being annoying has slowly helped me become more compassionate. I knew all that, but escaping the triggers was the tough part. It requires constant vigilance, meaning mindfulness. This has also prevented me from retorting to silly comments. 2 weeks back, there was a discussion on responding to others. Venerable Bhante noted that sometimes not responding at all was a solution. Let time decide. This has seriously helped, and I'm increasingly practicing mindfulness around my son. Less outbursts from me is the result. No escalations and fewer arguments. Much merit to Venerable Bhante and the coordinators. This program has truly improved my life. That's the end of report two out of three, Bhante.
Okay, let me start with the posture. Now, when we practice mindfulness, we say that all four postures are valid, which is standing, lying down, walking, and sitting, right? And in between these postures, there are other intermittent postures as well, right? You are changing your body posture. You are doing various other activities. So you can practice mindfulness during these situations, right? But let's talk about the main four. Then, of course, all four postures you can practice. When you are lying down, even before bed, just a few seconds, few minutes of mindfulness you can practice. When you're standing for some appointment, instead of creating and thinking about the waiting line, instead of thinking about the time, instead of thinking about the other people, you can simply be aware that you're standing. That very awareness you can practice in the standing posture. Usually standing postures are anxious. We are waiting for something. Probably you are waiting at a counter. So it is natural that you feel anxious in the standing posture, but you try to close your eyes for a while. Simply be aware that you're standing. Even without closing your eyes, you can simply be aware of the surrounding sounds, surrounding situation of the present moment. That very awareness you can practice. So all four postures are valid. If the person is having a difficult sitting, that's fine. They can use a chair or something and try to start with the mindfulness. The posture will follow. Start with the mindfulness. Start with the practice. Some people, they come here to the monastery and they want to do the lotus posture. So you usually ask them, have you practiced lotus posture? They say, no, I haven't even sat on the floor. I was sitting in a comfortable chair for my entire life. Now I want to practice lotus posture. So it's natural, within 15 minutes, they feel that they are body is about to break. So the posture you can gradually develop. I am not recommending sitting in chairs forever. You can gradually increase your ability, probably do some yoga exercises and gradually develop your posture. If it is a lotus posture or a half lotus posture, or what do you call that, Virasana for women, so that's good. But you have to gradually develop it, gradually develop to that level. So initially, make sure that you are somewhat comfortable when you sit. If it is too comfortable, then the other extreme, you fall asleep within few seconds, right? So you have a balanced posture where you are somewhat comfortable. Then you start practicing. So in a way, all these questions about the posture, it's the ego that's talking. We can really feel it when you start your practice. You want to keep your body upright. That is the instruction given, even in the scriptures. That is the instruction given. Sit in this upright posture, right? So that's, in a way, that's the ego, right? And let's say when you walk, we walk in a certain manner, right? We want to place this left step like this, place the right feet like this. That way you have to walk. That is how you start. So in a way, we start, our ego wants to control this entire process. That is natural. That is how we all start. But when you practice for a while, you can feel that body is settling into a comfortable posture. That walking process slows down and find a proper rhythm. So these things happen in a way our ego is dissolving. It's a gradual process, but gradually you can feel that your body, that upright posture changes to a more comfortable one. Gradually you feel like your body is adjusting the walking speed to a comfortable speed. In a way, we are gradually dissolving our ego. It's natural that you start with a strong ego when you start your practice, because that's what you have been practicing your entire life. Education, jobs, family responsibilities, whatever you do, you are strengthening your ego. That's what you do. Certificates, various things, degrees, you are strengthening your ego. And when you introduce to somebody, you introduce with these things. This is my name. This is my qualifications. This is my job. This is my family. This is my car. That's how we introduce to people. So in a way, we are strengthening our ego. We have been doing it for our entire lives. Now when you practice also, suddenly you want to get results. You want to maintain the upright posture according to the scriptures. You want to walk in a certain way, similar to Buddha. So that's how you start. But it's fine. Gradually you can feel that ego is dissolving. According to that, you become more and more comfortable in meditating. So it's a phase that you have to go through. Little by little, you sit in a way, a certain way and just be mindful. You walk in a certain way, just be mindful in that process. Whatever the postures that you are in, just be mindful in that posture. So that gradual process you have to experience. In a way, in your report, you have somewhat experience how the posture is adjusting to a comfortable posture. Still, your ego is fighting. Your ego is questioning. Is this the correct posture? Is this the proper way to sit? Various questions are there. That's fine. Again and again, try to experience. More you experience, less questions will be. And more comfortable you'll be in your meditation. Then the second part, I'm happy to say that you have found a teacher for your meditation, right? So teacher is not in a distant place. teacher is at your home, especially during the school holidays, you can get the frequent advices, kamatahan, right? So that's how we can practice. Now, in your own report, you explain how the teacher has helped you to practice, right? He's on your nerves all the time, always doing something to, you know, trigger you. So take it as the teacher. Take him as the teacher. Try to practice more and more. So that relates to our theme as well, dealing with conflict. Avoidance won't help. Reacting won't help. Instead, you gradually develop the practice. You take this conflict as the fuel for your practice. Whenever the conflict is, you can practice. Whenever the friction is, you can practice. In a way that friction is giving us a message. This is where you should be practicing. Difficult people we usually avoid. Of course, avoidance help. I'm not arguing that. But it's short term. If you need to find a long term solution, then you have to practice. You have to look within and see how this person is triggering me all the time. How this person is agitating me all the time. It's like pressing buttons on a remote control. In a way, the children, they enjoy it. They know that if I press this button, this is the result. They know it. They know the trigger. Then they keep on pressing it. But one day, if you stop reacting, then that day, they'll get confused. Again and again, they press the button, but that usual reaction is not there. And after a while, you feel like the teacher has helped you to develop your practice and develop the ability to deal with such situations much better. So you take that opportunity, take him as the teacher and try to continue with your practice, and you'll gain more and more insights into this.
Thank you, Bhante. So report 3 of 3, the last report by an adult, multitasking. Abhidhamma shows and science proves that the human brain can focus on only one thing at a time. Neuroscience and books like Focus by Daniel Goleman provide ample proof that switching tasks, even briefly, like listening to music while studying, takes away from our effectiveness. Bhante, what is your opinion on, say, listening to news while cooking, driving, or to music while studying or exercising, etc.? All this gets in the way of mindful living. To truly practice mindful living, we may need to cut down on multitasking, isn't it? Comment. I also want to thank Venerable Bhante for drawing the connection between flow and mindfulness 2 weeks ago. I have always wondered how the flow state, as described in books by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, sorry, I couldn't get that name right. Pronounced as Csikszentmihalyi, linked with Buddhist teachings and Abhidhamma. Venerable Bhante said that at some level, our mindful breathing gets us to a flow state where we lose sense of breathing and other physical sensations. Please discuss it again another time when time permits. Much merit to Venerable Bhante and the coordinators. That's the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, so you can think and create some kind of a connection between the teachings and the discussion that we are having. right? But the best way is to experience this. The best way is to practice and see what is the flow state is. Best way is to practice and see the multitasking. Whether we can do multitasking with mindfulness, whether we can't. So these things are popular questions. But if you practice, then you'll find the real answers. Even in Satipatthana programs, this multitasking question is a popular one. Usually they need a yes or no answer. Can we do multitasking with mindfulness or can't? That's how they expect a yes or no answer, right? So when we introduce mindfulness, we say one thing at a time, and that done well. That is just the introduction, right? So you have to practice and see, is this the only option? Or can I do multitasking? You have to start within. You have to experience your own mind and see how the mind works. Although it is there in the books, that only one sense object at a time. That's how the book explains it. But when you experience, it will be totally different. Some people, they feel like four layers working at once. They feel the breath, they feel the background surrounding sounds, they feel even the thinking thoughts are there. All at the same moment. Four different layers, they feel it. So you have to experience yourself and see whether multitasking is possible or not. Whether you experience only one thing at a time, or do you experience multiple things within you. That's why even like that Mahavira is saying, there are the man is polypsychic, he's saying. There are multiple psyches within us. That's his idea. But in this practice, we explain it. This is the struggle of senses. They fight each other. There's a struggle to get attention. The eyes, they bring sights, attractive signs. The ears, they bring sounds, attractive sounds. The mind brings thoughts, emotions. Then, of course, the bodily sensations, taste, smell is there. So all of them, there's a struggle to grab the attention. So when you experience this struggle, you feel like few layers working at once. That is how you feel. So try to experience it. When you experience more and more, at certain occasions, you feel one object at a time. And when that disappears, another object comes. Matching with the book knowledge that we are having. Certain occasions, we feel so many layers working at once. Some people, they are saying that they, inside their mind, they label the walking process. Left, right. Then they walk, right? After doing it for some time, they feel that walking process is happening. And my mind is labeling it left, right. And I am thinking about home. All these processes happening at once. The body is walking, the mind is labeling left, right, and in the background, his attention is the thought, thinking a problem at home. So this is how the real experience is. So I invite you to try and experience this more and more. Even the flow state, you have to experience it. Then only you'll see. The breath disappears and you lose control of this process. The walking happens automatically. You lose the control. You lose the doer in this process. When that happens, the flow state is there. There's no doer. Even there's no intention to be mindful. You are naturally mindful. You are with the process. So that's the flow state that we are talking. You had to experience these things. Of course, the flow state is explained in the books, but that's not the real experience. Of course, how the mind works is explained in the books, but that's not the real experience. So even yesterday, somebody was complaining because I was talking to that person while doing something else. Walking the talk. So that's a difficult one, right? So I was having a meeting while doing something else. So that person was complaining. Now you have to pay attention to this. So I told that I have the attention. I'm giving you that attention while doing this thing, right? So those things you have to experience and see. Certain occasions you have to do multitasking. Whether it's matching with the practice or not, you have to figure it out. According to my practice, it is matching with me. Because usually I'm in a rush. Usually I'm not a person who would do one thing at a time. That's not I am. So it depends on your personality as well. So try to experience this. Try to see whether you can be mindful doing few things at a time. In a way, this life demands us to do few things at a time. Sometimes you are driving while talking to your family and probably the radio is playing in the background. But you can do it. You can manage it. So you have to experience yourself and see. I'm not giving you a yes or no answer. You have to figure it out. You have to tell us whether you can do multitasking, whether you can be mindful while doing multitasking, or whether you have to do one thing at a time to be mindful. Initially, of course, we say one thing at a time and that done well. Slowly, mindfully, silently, we say. That's only the beginning part. Some people, they just take it, they just hold on to it, and forever they say one thing at a time, SMS, slowly, mindfully, silently. No, the practice evolves. The practice evolves. You have to experience how it evolves. You have to experience and see, can I do few things at once while being mindful? So try and tell us your experiences next time.
Thank you, Bhante. That's the end of all the three reports. I would then now invite the participants. Do they have any questions for Bhante regarding their practice or on the talk? If so, can you please raise your hand and ask Bhante? Thank you. I think so far there aren't any hands raised, and a bit mindful of the time as well. If there are no questions, we can end the question and answer session, and I'll hand over to Namantha, please.
Thank you so much and much merit, Samantha. Thank you so much and much to Bhante as well. That was an excellent session. We are slightly over time, so I would go on to quickly wrap up the program for today's session. I would like to thank and share merit with Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for joining into our session for this program on mindfulness for beginners today, representing Nisaravane Forest Monastery, and for providing us with such great insight and detail on how to overcome any issues and still advance with strength in the journey of mindfulness. So thank you, and we hope these merits will accrue and go on, move on to improve Bhante's own practice as well, and realize all of goals decided for Bhante. The next would be to kindly remember and pay gratitude to the Chief Abbot of the Nisaravane Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregam Dhammajiva Mahathero, for insightfully requesting this program to be conducted in the English medium, so that people who understand English will flourish in their mindfulness journey. So we would like to share the merits with Chief Bhante and wish that he has all the success in his own mindfulness journey. Then we are most grateful and thankful to all the organizers who initiated this program at the beginning and who are still sustaining the program at a high level of quality with great dedication and interest in the program. So I would like to share all the accrued merits with all the organizers from the very beginning to now, and wish that their own mindfulness practice will flourish and they will advance into this journey of mindfulness. And also all of you who are participating through the Zoom session and the Facebook live stream of the Satipatthana Foundation are to be thankful. So thank you. And we wish all these merits to be shared with you so that your own practices and your journey in mindfulness will advance, and you will reap many benefits of practicing this great concept taught by a great person, introduced to the world by such a great person as the Buddha himself. So with that, I think we can end today's program, and I would just like to remind you to send through the message of this program to any persons you might feel are interested in this concept of training. And also I would like to remind you that this session will be held same time on next Saturday and every week at on the same time until there are any changes in your local or geographical time due to daylight savings, etc. So with that, I would like to close off the Zoom session for now, and hope to see you next week joining the program, and also wish you a happy and mindful week ahead with much learning and practice and advancement in your mindfulness journey. So hope to see you next week and have a happy and mindful week ahead. Thank you so much. I will end the Zoom session soon.